Hello and welcome, everyone. It's time once again to talk some sports here on the Walnut Sports Network weekly podcast with you and us on this March the 26th, 2024. So, which means we're in March, which means college basketball's hot. We got baseball getting hot. We've got weather acting like it's going to be hot. And then not.
Who knows about the weather at this point?
We do live in Wisconsin, so it is something to, yeah, it's not really worth spending a lot of time on mentally. But we hope that wherever you're at, it's beautiful. Whether you're here in Wisconsin with us or out in the plains of Germany. We hope the best for you. My name is Jason.
Exactly.
That's Paulie there.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And that's Ben there.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And this is our podcast about sports, the Walnut Sports Network weekly podcast. So, gentlemen, how are we this week? Are we keeping it together?
Oh yes. I'm another Broadway run down. So I have a couple days off here now, so which is very nice. So Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I can't complain. Kids had spring break this week, so took some time off, a little extra time with the parents down in Milwaukee, had some fun there. So yeah, I can't complain. You know, and it wasn't the biggest, you know, week in sports, March Madness, obviously, but like everything else is, you know, not the biggest topic. So, but I'm looking forward to our show. How about you, Jason? How was your week?
Remarkably slow for me. I was actually just thinking earlier today, I was at work and I was trying to think of something to talk about because I work the dead spot there sometimes. So, and I was actually like, I don't really have anything new from a week ago to talk about. It's just kind of like one of those weeks where not a lot really happened, you know, that would be worth conversing about. So I guess that's good. You know, I mean, it's good for me. I could use a week like that every once in a while. So
you just had one. So perfect.
I'm just going to take it as a win and hope this week is good, or, you know, fair to middling. So let's, you know what? I got an idea. Since we're all here, let's talk some sports.
Can we talk some sports?
Yeah. Let's do it.
First time for everything. Let's do
it. So before we get into March Madness, which will take up the majority of our time this evening, let's talk a little bit some NFL news. It's a 24/7, 365 season. They just made some rule changes. most notably, the kickoff, as we know it, is now gone and will be replaced by something different. We'll get to our opinions on that in a second. And then the other thing that changed that we'll want to discuss is the hip drop tackle has been banned. I had to look into this because I didn't
rugby.
Even know. Yes, you have to think about rugby like this way. Because I had to look it up because I didn't know exactly what that meant. But you'll see it a lot of times with like a cornerback, like a smaller defensive back trying to take down like a Travis Kelce or something, where they just kind of like wrap them up around the hips and then just kind of like hold on while they drop their center of gravity down to the ground. And you see it if you've seen any rugby clips, it's basically how they tackle everyone, because half the people in rugby are really small and half of them are twice their size. So like you see it a lot. Now let's start with the kickoff, since it is the kickoff. Ben, where do you stand on this? They're still kicking the ball off and the guy's still receiving, but the team's blockers will be starting further down the field, so they're not getting up as much ahead of steam.
Plus, they can't move until it's caught.
Right. Then they cannot move the crowd's car.
Is it basically what the XFL is
doing? Yeah. So, yes, I watched a video of that today just to, you know, seeing exactly how it works. And I mean, it makes sense. It's going to cause a lot less injuries because, yeah, less impact because people aren't running 40 yards headhunting when they get down there. You know, you only got about 10 yards max, maybe even less until someone touches you. So, there's that, and I mean, I feel like it's going to bring back the kickoff a little bit as well for NFL. I think we've lost that, which kind of sucks in a way. Like having that one explosive play just hasn't happened as much because I feel like just teams have not.
Devin Hester was one of the most exciting players in my lifetime. So,
So like, I think for being a Packers fan and having Keyshawn Nixon back again, is I think that's going to help help him a little bit because he's going to be able to see a lot better. That hole or that wedge or whatever and just take that right away and he's faster than everybody else to react. So I think it's going to help the game a lot. But the onside part of it, is that that's kind of weird too, right? Like you, is that kind of taken out of the game now?
Now that part I honestly didn't want to mention it because I'm not super clear on the onside kick rules. But Paulie, if you want to talk about your feelings on the kickoff and we can kind of look into that in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about how the onside is going to work either, but I agree that the kickoff, the general kickoff rule, I like the change because like you said, Ben, I think it's going to make it, it's going to bring it back a little bit. I don't think it's going to be fully back, ever be fully back. But I think it's going to make it more exciting than it has been in the last 10 years or so. And I don't know how much it's going to change. I don't know if we're going to see maybe 5 kickoff touchdowns a year when we had basically none the last few years, but I like the change there. Jason, how do you feel about the hip check rule?
Well, I'd like to, well, first, for the onside, the onside, you can still do the onside kick. Mm-hmm. You just have to declare it first.
Yeah.
So the wonky stuff like the Saints did, if anybody recalls when the Saints won the Super Bowl against the Colts, did that surprise onside kick. That won't be a thing anymore because you have to declare, hey, we're doing an onside kick. And then the four that you line up differently. But like the kickoff, like you know what I think is going to happen is I just was watching like because Twitter is all a twiddle about, oh, the NFL kickoff is dead. This is what it's going to look like. And it's just clips of XFL kickoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching these and I'm like, dude, these guys are slow. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you put a guy like a Keyshawn Nixon or, you know, think about even like a DeSean Jackson level punt returner back in his day.
Oh,
you put a guy like that back in that, dude, he's going to run for 10 touchdowns a year. Like they're going to have to change that rule like fast. They're going to, I mean, I think they're going to, they'll find a nice point where it is kind of like somewhere between what they have it now. And like they'll reduce all the heads of steam and they'll get that. But the way it's set up now, just the way that I see it, I think a kick returner who's any good is going to just feast on this new setup. And they're going to have to like pull the blockers. Like they're going to have to like level the blockers a different way somehow, or they're going to have to do something, but I don't know. Cause and if you think about like the way kickoffs have been, all it's been is kickers kicking the ball out of the end zone. You don't ever see a kick return anymore. So who cares what the new rule is? Oh no, the old kick.
It's getting better.
I just, these people who are like, the kick return is dead. And it's like, it has been for 5 years. Where have you been? Like,
So I just thought of something interesting. Could you maybe load on the on the return side, could you maybe load like 7 or 8 of your players on one side and leave the other side open and have to have the defending team match up to that so you have a little bit more room? Is that
get to kick it where you want? Like, so if you line up all your blockers on the one side and they just kick it to the other
because
you can't move until the ball's caught.
Cannot move except the kicker and the returner. So real quick though, the other thing about the onside is you only get 2 per game and it has to be in the fourth quarter or later. It cannot be anywhere else in the game. So just an FYI about that. A little different.
Well, I always hated those dudes who would do onside kicks in Madden all the time. So
I don't know if they're going to take it out of the game, because in fact, they're promoted even more, probably. Like, that's what you can still do in Madden, onside kick every time.
Yep, every time.
Or unlock the feature, unlimited onside kicks.
New DLC, oh God.
For $50 more. Woo! Yep.
All right. But...
either of you guys have any opinion on the hip check rule? Because I didn't realize until you said some, Jason, that was going to be a thing this year, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just like how they had to change tackling, basically, how many years ago, not leading with the head and everything. It's just going to have to be another learning curve. It's going to be a lot of penalties probably right away because it's going to hard. If you've been tackling that for 12 years and then they're like, you got to stop doing it that way. And that's your MO because you're, like you said, Jason, you're maybe a little corner going after big running backs or tight ends or something like that all the time. I think it's going to be another learning curve. I think there's going to be a lot of penalties. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be like weird to see in training camp. Like that's going to be an OTA, how to learn how to tackle again, 101, basically, which is kind of crazy, but I understand it too, because you can't be falling on them and whipping them down like that. And
yeah.
I understand it. So, it's just going to take time.
And I get it too. A lot of times those dudes, while you're dragging the guy down, you're landing on his ankles, you're landing on the back of his knees. So I get it. Like, I understand why they don't want people doing that stuff. But, who said it? I think it was Dan Patrick. And it kind of got me thinking. He was like, I don't want my defensive players having to think while they're trying to tackle somebody. Like, that's not – and it got me thinking. And I'm like, yeah, because that just slows the defense down, right? Like, it just makes them less effective at doing their job, which offense. But – just one second. I don't think the NFL, like the owners at large and the committees or whatever, I don't think they think that's a bad thing. Like, they're just like, they hear people complaining, oh, it's going to make defenses worse and offenses are going to feast and it's going to be. And Roger Goodell's hearing that and be like, awesome. Great. Sign us up. Give us 3 of them, So I don't see them. Yeah, it just seems like, oh, Christ, we're just asking more and more of our defensive players, but I don't think the NFL cares.
No, they don't. I mean, one more NFL story that I wanted to mention, the NFL is going to play 2 games on Christmas this year, historically has always been the NBA's day. That's their day. The NFL is playing 2 games and it's on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Either of you guys think of a day the NFL's ever had a game on a Wednesday? And B, this is just the NFL being like, fuck you, any other league. This is our show. I hate it because it's the NBA's day historically. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but
The opposite. I feel great because it's just more sports to watch, and I don't really care about the other four games on the NBA schedule unless it's the Bucks. So it's great that it's their day, but if I get some more variety, I'm going to take the variety, you know, like I honestly don't mind it. I understand you're coming from, Paulie. It's been how long since it's just been there, but how many times have we had Christmas on a Sunday where there's been a full NFL schedule? You know, that's happened a lot lately. I feel like we're having more and more of that. So I don't go. Like I said, if the Bucks aren't playing, I'm not watching the NBA, honestly, on Christmas. I'm probably going to be watching Christmas movies or doing stuff with my family. I don't know. Like, but if it's an NFL game, I might tune into it more. So if anything, it's going to treat me a little bit more on Christmas, I think, if there's more variety. But I understand where you're coming from.
Nothing is sacred.
Not anymore.
No, dude, like, seriously, like, nothing is sacred when it comes to professional sports and days. No, and the only... Oh, I almost don't want to even get started, but I'll just kind of dip my toe in a little bit here. Like, the only reason the NBA's day is Christmas, think about that. The NBA's day is Christmas, and it's a third of the way through the season already. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, and it's only their day because it's what? Because it's Christmas, and basketball doesn't actually matter until Christmas, even though you've already been playing for 2 months. Like, and okay, I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna shade the NBA. No, I swore myself I'd not shade the NBA over this, but I will say that. I will say that, like, moreover, I'm with Ben in that all the sports should be on Christmas. There should be hockey too, and there should be, well, you know, baseball. I mean, watch.
No, you can't do that.
But... Do something baseball. I don't know. Have the players do something.
Wiffle ball tournament.
Yeah.
For charity.
International tournaments.
Throw some highlight in there. Like, I don't know.
We are going to get to baseball in a second, but I'll let you finish up here, Jason.
But yeah, I just think the idea that Christmas is the NBA's day, quite frankly, I don't think the NBA has ever earned that other than being always on Christmas. Like, that's
when they stamped their NBA flag into it and was like, this is our day. And everyone was like, yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and NFL's just like, yeah, only when we don't play on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Until
now. Like you said, every six or 7 years, they play all their games on Christmas Day.
All of them. So. And you know how many people watch those NBA games? Nobody, because they're watching those NFL games, especially that late in the season they are, you know? So.
Exactly. I just, so that's where I'm at on that whole.
All right. So let's move on. We got a NBA's, NFL is a few months off yet. We got the draft coming up in a few weeks, but we'll get to that. We did have a little bit of baseball we wanted to talk about. Opening day is coming up on Thursday, I believe.
Brewers opening day. Technically, the MLB season already started last Wednesday. So.
Oh, that's right. They had those weird international games.
Yep, and the Padres and the Dodgers in Seoul, Korea. Yep, South Korea. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we did have one story before we got into the general NBA MLB. Sorry. This Ohtani story, Ben, what? I'm still confused about this. Do you have any, are any clearer about what is going on here?
I mean, as far as we know, which a lot of people know, just the basic story is his interpreter, who's been his interpreter since he's been here, was fired because he was using Ohtani's money to pay for gambling debts. Ippi Mizuhara. So he's been here since 2017. So basically what they're doing now is he was fired because he was supposedly talked Shohei or something like that into giving him this $4.5 million for his gambling debts, which again, his rep said that he was not gambling on baseball, but gambling on everything else. But it didn't matter. He was fired anyways because they think something that this interpreter was basically stealing from Ohtani. But now the league and the Dodgers and everybody else is investigating as well. I mean, it's not really clear because, again, Ohtani's very – keeps everything to the chest. He doesn't really need to talk or tell anybody anything else right now. He had a press conference and basically said to everybody – you know, he's never gambled. He has nothing to do, you know, has no idea what's going on with this situation other than the fact that, you know, he's being told that he was basically robbed $4.5 million, which to him is not that much. To me, it'd be a lot, but, you know, him, it's nothing. But anyways, there's not much going on. There's nothing like right now that penalizes Ohtani for not playing. You know, he'll be able to still play. In that aspect, so we're just going to see and wait and see if anything is going to come out of this. But right now, it just was weird. Like right when they went over to Seoul, Korea, opening day, there this story comes out. You know, it was just like very odd timing, I would say.
Yeah, and I've heard a couple weird things about like is his interpreter was. Covering for Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
It's all speculation, I think, though. Yeah. No one knows.
But Jason, did you have a thought before we get into the kind of baseball preview? Quick.
Well, I mean, Ohtani's a pretty charitable guy by all accounts. I would be more likely to believe he didn't have anything to do with this than he did, right?
Because he about $4.5 million. He's not. Who cares about getting that for right? him, right? Like, who cares?
I had heard his interpreter was making $500,000 a year anyway. So for him,
he's only making $85 million or $85,000 a year. His interpreter is making. So that makes sense that he's out. It needs $4.5 million to pay. Okay,
because like I was thinking something else, but I was thinking if he was making $500,000 a year and went to Ohtani was like, yo, loan me $4.5 million, he'd be like, sure. You know, you make a shit ton of money, I have a shit ton of money too, here, yeah, you need some, have some, I don't know, like, but yeah. If it's like that,
yeah, it says he made roughly $85,000 a year at the Angels, so
he worked for the Angels.
Well, the Angels paid him, yeah, as the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, I thought he worked for Shohei.
I mean, they might have met, you know, beforehand. I don't know how that relationship happens, but he was employed through the Los Angeles Angels.
Okay, yeah, like, I don't know, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know how this. That all, yeah, but yeah, that's where his money was coming from, his salary.
Yeah, I'd just say that he, you know, he's been charitable. Like publicly, like mm-hmm. I remember there were earthquakes in Japan and he was like, have money, you know, so
yeah,
for him to be involved in something like this is like if he was gambling and like if he was doing I don't see it.
Yeah, we'll see though.
Yeah.
we never know.
Who knows. Yeah, right. I mean, Christ. All right. So then I guess you guys want to talk a little early baseball or do you want to get right into?
I just wanted to bring up the Woodruff is officially out for the Brewers for the year. Ben,
ooh.
I guess your initial thought about the Brewers season or anything.
Yeah.
I guess next week we'll probably get into a little baseball preview, but your initial thoughts about how the Brewers are going to do, what you think is going to happen this season?
Yeah, I mean, Woodruff, I mean, no surprise. He was probably not going to play this year just because of the injury, but it's fine. We had a two-year contract with him, so he's going to sit out this one, hopefully be back for that last season of the contract. I mean, Garrett Mitchell suffered another blow, which kind of sucked. I don't know if you heard about that, but he fractured his left hand in batting practice over the weekend. So he's going to be out again for a little bit longer. So it sounds like Sal Frelick will now be on third base and the outfield, kind of playing back and forth. But I feel pretty good about the team, honestly. You know, catchers, we got William Contreras coming back, and we got Gary Sanchez backing up, which is pretty damn good, I think, as a 1-2 punch. And then you got Rhys Hoskins at first, which I'm excited about him. Hopefully he can have a really big bounce back year after having those injuries in Philly, and then Philly just kind of letting him go. I mean, it's just going to be exciting. You got Willie Domus, hopefully has a bounce back here. The outfield stack, you got Jackson Chirio, made the roster, so he'll be playing opening day with the Brewers, and everyone's, you know, really pumped up, excited to see him. Starting lineup for pitching right now is Peralta, DL Hall, Colin Ray, Joe Ross, and Jacob Yunus, which is not a terrible starting lineup compared to last year, where I thought, you know, we lost everybody. Woodruff, Corbin Burns, which that's going to be big holes to fill. But Wade Miley will be coming back starting pitching too at some point. So I'm excited to see what they can do. And the other big thing is, you know, we have Devin Williams shut down for 6 weeks as well in the bullpen. So we'll have to see if someone can kind of pick up that while he's out. But I'm kind of optimistic about these Brewers. I feel like in the last couple of years the team switches over so much and you never know what's going to happen, but there's a lot of young talent here, and we got the number two prospect in baseball up in the majors, so let's see what happens here starting Thursday.
I agree. I mean, you kind of broke it down for us. I like this team. Woodruff and Burns gone is obviously gonna not be ideal for us, but I like the moves that they made in the offseason. I think they're gonna be good. I think the Central is not gonna be great this year again. I think we'll see if the hated Cardinals come back at all, but
well, it's more of Jason's Cubs this year with Craig Council down there. That's really, you know, that's what everyone, at least in Brewers country, is going to be paying attention to see what he does. He's going to be analyzed every single pitch.
Yeah,
you know, that every inning of the game. So yeah,
Jason, did you have an initial thought before we move on here?
No.
All right,
the pitch clock's still there, Jason. So you got that, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the see-through paint.
Soon, my friend.
Oh,
soon.
Can't wait.
And hopefully that roof doesn't close and it rains, and then it's everyone's opening day. And
then all of a sudden, it's all of a sudden baseball just got a whole lot sexier.
Woo! Gonna check IDs again in those games.
Huh? Yeah.
Jason, do you want to set us up for a big show here?
Yeah, let's get into the 2024 March Madness on Walnut Sports Network. Sweet 16. How's y'all's what?
No, I was just the pause, and I was like, uh-oh. But nope, we're good. Yeah. We're still rocking and rolling.
So, how is everybody's bracket doing?
I'm
feeling pretty good. Yeah, right. I totally forgot to put my bracket up on the ESPN one because Yahoo.
I forgot to put mine up too, so don't feel bad.
Yeah.
So wait, you guys on the ESPN one? It's just me and a bunch of crap, or what's going on here?
It's you and the show bracket.
The show. Well, there's three of them on there. Paul, is yours on there as well?
Don't think I put mine up.
Well, it says I'm in first, our whole bracket second, and Paul Stoffel is third. So you must have done something.
I must have put mine up then.
Yeah. You're tied with our overall bracket right now. So
okay.
And I had a couple more wins looks like. So
Auburn. Let's get it started here. Auburn or Kentucky, was that the bigger upset in your mind?
Kentucky.
Kentucky for Kentucky. Two reasons, because Kentucky and because I picked Yale. So there was that.
Jack Golke from Milwaukee there for the Oakland, just crushing it there.
Is
10
that
threes in that game?
Yeah, dude. Oh my
god, that was great to watch. And some of those, I was just like, "How are you doing this, man? How are you doing this?" And I was like, "This is just what this is what happens, Calipari. Shit's coming to bite you in the ass from all those other schools, and this is another one right here. Oakland taking down the big boys."
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, I will say, because I was working when Auburn played. Actually, I was working for most of the game, except for Sunday. The Auburn game, I didn't catch any of it because it was busy at the shop. And I came around the corner after my shift, and it had just finished. And it says, "Final, Yale by 2. And I just sat and stared at the screen. I was like... No way. No mm-hmm. way. Because, mm-hmm. like, oh, my God. I just love when that shit happens. Not because mm-hmm. just because I picked it. Like, that was what the smile on my face was for at the time. But the shock was because of the, like, when a team that you know people have picked to go to their Final Four, you're like, dude, I literally know people who think Auburn's going to go to the Final Four. And they just lost to Yale. That mm-hmm. shit. That's what this season is all about.
Or yeah. Some people in this house had Kentucky in the final game and they lost upstairs, if you can hear me. Not me. Just someone else.
Yeah, someone else. Some other person.
Yeah.
Oh, remain nameless.
How about though, just for like a more positive side, not who shit the bed, but how about who did not shit the bed? Mm. UConn looks tough.
Dude.
They
yes,
look
they do.
Tough.
Yes,
I mean, I know
do.
It was the first game was against Stetson, you know, the cologne or whatever,
but the second game, they looked great against Northwestern, absolutely.
So yeah, just I just thought that popped out at me. I was like, dang, did they look?
Mm-hmm. So, any of you guys lost any of your Final Four yet?
I don't think I have, honestly. I can't remember. Let me look here.
I'm going to take a look right now.
I got my Final Four. Nope, I got Connecticut, UNC, Marquette, and Purdue.
See, I know Purdue has looked great this tournament. Mm-hmm. I still cannot trust them, though. There's part of me that will never trust Purdue. I don't know what it is, but
Paulie, in your pool here at ESPN, I don't know what you did, but it's. I think you have Auburn, New Mexico, Marquette, and Tennessee is your Final Four.
Yeah, ooh. I was just taking a look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got 2 out of 4 still left there.
Ooh.
Yeah, Auburn kind of took you down a little bit.
And New Mexico but Marquette, losing to Clemson, too.
Yeah, we had them going, you know, to the Sweet 16 in our overall bracket, and that did not work.
But again, that's the fun of the season.
Yeah,
right.
It's a crapshoot, yep. So.
Yeah, like Clemson went farther than any of us thought they were going to, you know. That was a surprise, I thought.
Yeah, Clemson's good at basketball. Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're like, we're done with football. We're going to basketball.
Dabo Sweeney kind of ruined the flavor of football for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina, so
yep. Was... Well, when you don't have a real first name, that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, looking at it, Clemson and NC State, who is playing
they're tough.
Marquette.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game.
In the next round. Those are really the only two major upsets of the Sweet 16 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. It's crazy.
Again, I mean, people have said it before, the opening weekend is for the upsets. The Sweet 16, you want the big guys in there because you want good basketball. And mm-hmm. I don't know if I fully agree with that, but that's the way it happens most of the time. So
it just lets you know our brackets rank 12.2 million out of how many. So we're not the bottom, guys.
That's right.
50, we're at 54%.
We're in the top half.
Or is exactly. Yes, we are.
Yeah, all right.
We're in the top half.
All right, so do we want to do this quick? Just break down UConn or San Diego State?
UConn.
UConn, yeah.
UConn, I agree. Illinois or Iowa State?
Now, Iowa State didn't look as tough as I thought that last game. Not that it was, you know, I know they pulled out at the end there, but like the first half, I was like, what is going on? They're hanging around again. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to go with Illinois, I think, and now I'm switching it up. I think Illinois is the hot hand, even though.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I picked Illinois originally, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay. What do you got, Paulie?
I think Illinois is going to come out of there too. So, mm-hmm. North Carolina and then Alabama. Grand Canyon looks like they were going to pull off that upset for mm-hmm. a long time in that yeah. second half, and then so, they kind of collapsed there. Yeah. Who do you guys see there?
Jason, you start. Who do you see there?
I think Alabama's gonna struggle and they're gonna lose this one.
Oh, the Tyler Hansbrough's are gonna come on top, huh?
Not him. Not him. He sucks. Not him.
Yeah, he does suck. You're right. So yeah, I'll pick UNC as well. Molly.
I'll take UNC in that one too. Arizona and Clemson. Do you think Clemson can move on here?
No.
Yeah, I think this is the end of their run. Yeah. I think they're going back to South Carolina and let me go hang with Dabo and be like, what did we do wrong, coach?
That's
like,
another
don't transfer.
That's another thing we have to bring up. Maybe a couple weeks from now is the ACC long for this world? But
yeah, Arizona.
All right, Tennessee and Creighton.
I think it's gonna be Rocky Top.
Yep, Tennessee.
Rock Top.
Tennessee.
I agree. Purdue and Gonzaga. I was joking with one of my coworkers on Saturday. Is this the year that Gonzaga is actually going to win it? That they've lost?
I didn't think they're going to win one game. Yeah. 16, so maybe. But no, I'm going to pick Purdue with Zach Edey. I think he's going to keep dominating.
Sorry. Go ahead, Wally.
Oh, I think I'm gonna take Gonzaga on that one. I cannot trust Purdue.
This is gonna be Paulie saying this is the final game. I just can't trust Purdue, and they're in the final game.
Well, yeah, that's probably gonna happen. Exactly.
Because, you know, like that's how it always works.
I'm gonna take Gonzaga.
Okay.
All right.
I had Purdue losing to Utah State, so I thought Gonzaga was going to move on to face Tennessee anyway. So I actually only lost one Elite Eight team so far, and that was Kentucky.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
My bracket's real healthy.
Good.
All right. We have UNC
I still need Duke to win, though.
Marquette.
We'll get to that last year.
I am so scared.
Hold on.
Scared that
hold
one,
on
Jason.
To that one. Yeah.
We have UNC and Marquette.
NC State.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Marquette as well.
I can actually make like an analytical decision here because I don't have a horse in either one of these. I'm actually going to take NC State. I think they're the hot hand.
Their ride's going to continue.
Yeah, Marquette. They looked good against Colorado eventually, but I don't know. It's really close, I think. Just because, like, on an even if it weren't for the momentum, I would take Marquette all day. But and with the week off, no, I'll go with my gut. I'll take NC State. I just have a feeling about it.
All right. All right. I like it. And then the last game, Jason, your Dukies against this Houston team that went to overtime against A&M, which would what I thought was the most exciting game of the tournament so far against this A&M team.
Yeah, and they didn't shoot particularly well in that game, as I recall. I'm going to take Duke because they were shoot dude. They weren't losing to anybody. I know it was James Madison that they beat by like 40, but they weren't the way they were shooting, they were not losing to anybody. And they were shooting like the old school Duke teams, like that with like JJ Redick and shit, where you just like hoped they couldn't make some shots one game and you might have a chance to beat them. They looked that good shooting the ball. And they've got like eight McDonald's All-Americans on that team. It's a deep team. I like Duke in this one.
Yeah, Cougars. Houston.
I hate
JJ, all I
I
can
hate to do
say,
it, but I think I'm gonna take
JJ
Duke.
drinks his own pee. I remember the song. JJ drinks his own pee. And that's what I'm using for this. I'm a Huger fan with JJ drinks his own pee sign, and they're going down to this.
I'm gonna agree with you, Jason. I think I'm gonna take Duke in this one also. There's something about the Houston team that they don't really have an offense. Yeah, or defense, sorry.
Right.
And so I'll ride with Duke on this one with you, so.
I think there's also that whole thing with Houston, like how they've gotten there so many times and not won. Like the whole Phi Slamma Jamma thing. I think they got to the Final Four with Calvin Sampson here once recently. And
That's the same way I feel about this Purdue team, so.
and Gonzaga. A lot of teams are like that actually right
Yeah.
now, I feel like.
All right,
All
so
still in it.
before we wrap it up, the women's side, there was not I think there was a couple upsets, but all of the big teams are still in it. I still think Iowa is gonna take it this year. I think Caitlin Clark takes it home. Just a quick thought about the women's bracket for with both of you guys.
Oh yeah, South Carolina still taking it all. I mean, Iowa would almost lost to West Virginia
Yeah, they
and
did.
did not look good to even get to Sweet 16. So, and it's weird. Like I feel like every time I turn on an Iowa game, all I see is Caitlin Clark yelling at a referee. That's it. Like it's always her yelling, and I'm just like, did I just? Is this a rerun? But yeah, I don't know. I just don't think they got enough. I think that one thing for her immaculate career is unfortunately not going to happen with the national championship. So I got the Gamecocks repeating.
Not a bad pick. So, Jason, you agree with the Gamecocks there?
I do.
All right.
And done.
So, we will next time we talk to you guys, we will be down to the Final Four, I believe. We'll be a couple games into the baseball. We'll be a week closer to the NBA playoffs. Let's do some a little bit of a hockey
Yeah,
talk
I was gonna bring up
next week.
hockey. Good idea. I'll hit that.
And then the Masters of the week closer. I know I realized that that was a few weeks out from when I said that last week, but we got plenty of sports to talk to you guys. Jason, do you want to sign us off here?
Sure, I'd love to. So, thank you everybody for tuning in and listening to us go on about sports. And hopefully that helps you go on about sports with other people or with us on our Twitter at WSN Weekly. Or check out the website at walnutsportsnetwork.com. There's links to the podcast. All sorts of good stuff there. Fun news if it happens. So with that, yeah, it's been fun talking sports. Thank you everybody for listening. We love you very much, and you have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody.